You're listening to a Lewis and Clark podcast. Visit us online at www.lclark.edu.
In the following podcast, communication professor Peter Christensen and members of the class of 2010, Stephanie Locke and Nicole Carnell, describe their research about trends in American pop music. The group, along with Nick Bjork from the class of 2008, have conducted a study about top 40 music over the last 50 years. Studying some 1,000 songs, the group considered how themes and references in rock and roll have changed and stayed the same over the last half century.
So, welcome.
Thank you.
What was the process? How did you sort of dissect these songs?
So, somehow the decision was made to do every other year for 5 decades. And so basically we went onto the Billboard charts and looked up the top 40 songs, and then we had a number of online databases which we used to collect the lyrics. I think we found a couple, hopefully trustworthy sites. But lyrics are a funny thing, especially among music listeners. And a lot of lyrics are up for debate even online, you'll find. And then we started the coding process.
There were 4 of us, 2 females, Stephanie, myself, and Nick, and then another senior, Nick Costa. We would sit down and have stacks of just lyrics, and you would read through the lyrics and mark off such things as what you thought were the predominant theme. And these were all listed in a kind of rule book that we had created that would help us decide under which category each song would fall. And we would look for other things like how far the romance was, how far sex went, all these sorts of things. And so we would sit down with these songs, and we each coded 250. And then to make sure that we had intercoder reliability, or that, you know, we matched up, it wasn't biased in any way, we would code another set of songs and cross-reference them. And it was actually, the intercoder reliability was very high.
And I think part of that was before this individual coding process began. We had, I think it was almost a month of pretty intense weekly meetings where we'd come together and discuss definitions of things that we were coding for, like what is romance, what is sex, all of these definitions, so we as a group had a really clear understanding of what all the codes were, what each question meant, and what the appropriate response would be once we're looking at the lyrics.
So what were some of the big shifts you guys noticed in the themes that you were looking at?
The interesting finding was that throughout all the decades, the number one theme was always love, number two was always sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some fun differences in the decades. I think the 70s brought out some more dance themes. Later in the 2000s, we got some interesting themes arriving in beyond love and sex. Some shifts like that, but overall, love and sex really prevails, I suppose. Mm.
Well, I know one thing we found, and that is a huge increase in the last 10 or 12 years in the percentage of songs that make reference to alcohol and drugs.
Mm.
In about, 2000, 2002, our curve went, came way up in terms of the references to substances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's in part because of hip-hop, but I think also that the effect of hip-hop, I expect, will have spread to other genres,
mm-hmm.
Because it's just too big of a difference to be just one genre.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's clear that we're going to find an increase in the graphicness of sexual references.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you guys could talk a little bit about some of the differences that, or some of your patterns based on gender.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what you found with
our gender study.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just to clarify, our gender study, we really wanted to compare male singers versus female singers, and then, like Nicole said, we basically only used 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and that was because that's where we felt a lot of research stopped, and a lot of changes were happening. And, we found a lot of really interesting things. Do you want to...
Yeah, I'll start, and then you can go. We looked at, as Peter talked about, the gender of artists over time. And in the 80s, the women, did jump up a little bit, just to over 20%, but still nothing to compete with the males. Finally, in the 90s, there was a huge drop where men dropped down to about only 55% of the artists, and women jumped up to right under 40. And so there is a huge jump, definitely, in the 1990s. And so, you know, we have discerned from that that it is male dominated still, but the women definitely have a much greater voice than before. So that definitely has changed. Also, one of the things we did is we looked at both the predominant theme of the song and also the references, because we thought that both were really important. And not only should we look at what the song is, you know, generally about, but also, you know, if there's a song about love, but it involves alcohol, both are very important. And so we found in that again, love and romance are, and sex and sexual activity are the dominant themes. In the results that we have, we found that males tend to talk about relationships a little bit less than women, and they tend to talk about sex a little bit more. Not only did we look at, I guess, what men and women were singing about, we also looked at how they're singing about, and what are they saying about each other. And so, Stephanie. That's her.
Stephanie gets ready for her. our coaching is quite hilarious. Some of it would actually, I think, be R-rated. I
mean, right.
We were had to describe, you know, the physical or sexual behavior pretty specifically, so that when we ran into it in a song, we would know, okay, that's what that is. And so, you know,
that was a really important part.
And we haven't looked really. We can certainly look, and we'll look more carefully at the overtime differences there, and even at the gender differences. But I guess you guys said, and I tend to agree that in a way the differences aren't as extreme as at least I expected.
Yeah.
Is that kind of? I mean, they're there, and they were statistically significant. But it's not like the men were singing about sex 80% of the time, and the women were singing about kind of idyllic romance 80% of the time. Yeah. It was much more kind of in the middle. Anyway, but you know,
yeah, I think hopefully my little piece will show that women get just as dirty as men do, I suppose.
No.
Well, so I mean, like we said, because love and sex are such an important part of songs, it's the number one theme, we devoted so much of our coding sheet to really diving into that. Like, what about love? What about sex? So we really wanted to look at how females and how males were referring to the opposite gender, the other person in the song. And our findings were that in reference to external characteristics, so any mention of a body part of the other person, we found that men referenced those physical attributes more than women, 34% to 23%. And that's significant. And then we also wanted to take a look at physical attractiveness as opposed to external characteristics. So not so much a body part, but just general references to, oh, she's beautiful, or she's fine, or whatever. And in this we found that men, again, referenced physical attractiveness more than women, 14% to 1.9%. So this was, I think, one of the lowest findings we found for women. They just really don't reference physical attractiveness in men in their songs. And then we also wanted to look at internal characteristics, you know. Are they mentioning the person's, I don't know, good sense of humor?
Is he courageous?
Their intelligence. All those things
it's
that are
noble.
Important, yes. And what was interesting, with this we broke it up in sort of a grid here. So we have male singers and female singers. But then we also have internal characteristics of men and internal characteristics of women. Because we felt it was possible that a male could talk about himself or a female could talk about herself. And what we found was that males do, in fact, talk about themselves a little bit more than they talk about women when it comes to internal characteristics. And women talk more about men than they do about themselves when it comes to internal characteristics. So that was a pretty interesting finding. And overall, women mention external characteristics more than men. But these are really slight findings. All the percentages are under 10%. The next thing we looked at would be the reference to the other as a sex object. So this is a mention in a song. The song has sexual references. And that those sexual references really don't account for the other person's feelings, or they don't make any mention to relationship, they don't make any mention to, you know, I don't know, the next day.
My true love.
Right, it's not about that. It's not about a future.
It's not, I love you, let's get it on.
It's, you know, really, yeah, it's not even about the other person's sexual gratification even. It's really solely the singer. And we found that the men do that more than women, 9% to 5%. So not huge.
Twice as often, but not all that often in terms of absolute terms. Yeah. There are really a couple things that we're going to be able to... We're looking really at 3 or 4 papers, and who knows, maybe a book someday about this. This could be an ongoing study where every year we... You know, we do another 100 or so. And then, so we have this long, extended period of time, which they will take into the, you know, 2050s, perhaps. But, as I said, no study has ever looked at kind of this kind of stuff over long periods of time. And no one has really, and I've looked at this research carefully, and you guys too, no one, I think, has ever compared the genders of the singers in the way they did. I mean, that's a first, too. And there should be a lot of interest in that, I think.
Well, one of the things that's, I think, really interesting about this is you say this is absent from the, you know, background music. You're just looking at the lyrics themselves. So did you find yourselves, as you're, you know, reading this dry text on the paper, hearing, you know, these tunes coming up in the back of your head? Like, I've heard this before.
Yeah. Less when we were coding the 60s.
Right. I mean... It picked up a lot of songs. You would read it and you'd be like, oh, I've never heard this, and then listen to it and you'd be like, oh, this is a great song from the 1960s or something. It was also really funny to read the songs that you did know, because everyone, like, when you're singing along with the radio, you mumble a little bit or say something a little off, and you would read it and you're just like, that's what it says? Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make any sense. The rap songs are the most fun to read. Mm-hmm. They're the best with all their, like, references.
So just try to read them dry.
Reading them dry is just, it doesn't make sense, and it's kind of everywhere, but it's really great. It's pretty funny. I think the most fun came out of, like, trying to decide what a song really meant. Like, you know, is it, like, the Madonna song, is it about...
Oh, Papa Don't Preach.
Yeah, Papa Don't Preach.
Classic, like, example. Is right. I'm Keeping My Baby about keeping a baby or about her boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. So that
was a good debate. Yeah. Or Ace of Base, All That She Wants Is Another Baby.
Right.
Oh.
Does she want another baby?
Or does she want another guy?
We didn't.
it would just be funny things like that, just like reading through these lyrics. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Has this really changed the way you guys listen to music? Do you find yourselves now listening to the radio thinking... Did I just hear a reference to wealth?
An external characteristic.
I listen a little more carefully, maybe, to the lyrics and kind of laugh about them, but I don't know. It hasn't, like, ruined pop music for me. I'm not just, like, thinking external characteristic. This is the downward course of love stage in the romance. Yeah. No, none of that. I think that, you know, we wouldn't be involved, because it was a lot of songs, and it's not just like 3 minutes, you know, looking through a song. You have to read, and, you know, we did kind of some of this in our class, and everyone was just like, oh, how did you do 250 of these? I think you have to love music, and I think that we all kind of shared that, and we all laughed about it, and it was a good time.
Another aspect of this that I think is really exciting is collaborative research is such a focus at Lewis and Clark. And so I wonder if you guys would say anything about what this experience has been like as undergraduates.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I love doing research too. And we've done a little bit in classes, but to be able to really take on a project with a professor who's done a lot of research already, I felt honored. I really did when asked to do it. And it's a great learning experience. Great learning process, but the overall experience has been really rewarding. And I think we're really lucky at Lewis and Clark to be able to do research with professors. I don't know if many other schools where, you know, professors tap on an undergraduate's shoulder and says, you know, come help me. And we played a really big role. We weren't just filing and organizing. I mean, we were discussing and creating code books and discussing definitions and writing papers and doing the lit review portion of it. I mean, the whole piece of the project, I think we got to be involved in, and that's great.
Just being introduced to this type of research and, you know, I guess research doesn't sound great, you know, like, why would you want to push all these papers and do this thing? But I, you know, it's kind of opened doors to be like, you know, maybe I want to do market research. And I love music and I love television and things like that. You know, you can do that. That's a job. So it's kind of like opened up those doors for me.
Well, thank you guys so much. This is really exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Yeah.